إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Allah said, repel evil and meet evil and oppose evil with good, with that which is the best. Now, this seems to be easier said than done. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then went on to say that the result of that, what will happen if you do that? And He said that the one who was your enemy will become your closest friend if you do this. But as I said, it seems to be more difficult than it appears. So therefore, how to do this? Now, the way to do it is, inshallah, I want to use two terms which you must have heard many times before. The first one is not mine, the second one is mine. The first one is, people say perception is reality. And we use this term, we use this phrase, perception is reality, with regard to all kinds of things, including customer satisfaction and selling of products and services and so on and so forth. Perception is reality. And the second one is my phrase which I use, which I say, life is math. That life is an equation. And let me explain to you how these two things help us to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayat in the Quran. Now, perception is reality refers to the fact that, for example, let us look at what we consider evil with regard to behavior with people. For example, whoever it is, maybe it's our wife or husband, children, whoever, parents, friends, relatives, employees, employers. We consider certain kinds of behavior to be irritating, and so we get irritated, we get angry, then it escalates, and then sometimes may Allah protect us from ourselves, it gets to a point where then we have to regret how we behaved. So it starts with the other person clearly being at fault. At that point in time, there was no difference of opinion about it. If there was a third person watching, they would say, no, definitely this person's fault. But then the way you react to that makes you the culprit. Now you are on trial because of the way you reacted. People, if a third person is watching, he will say, well, he said something, but what was the need for you to respond in this way? Why did you have to curse him? Why did you have to beat him, or whatever it was? I mean, then you are clearly now, from that person being the culprit, now you became the culprit. Why? Because of your perception of that person's action. Your perception made it reality. For example, somebody's irritating behavior. Whatever that might be, as it might be something as simple or as small as a small criticism, or what we choose to call criticism, or what we choose to see as criticism from the people who are closest to us, our parents, spouses, and so on. And sometimes this criticism can be, it's a mundane thing, it's a general thing for everybody. For example, people will say, why don't you put up the seat of the toilet when you come out? Yeah? So this is a common thing. Most people don't do it. They leave it down and they flush and the thing, splashes. So why don't you put it up? Now, if somebody says that to you enough number of times, you get irritated. Why must you always keep telling me? Huh? Or somebody might say, don't keep your elbows on the table when you are eating. Keep the elbows off the table. Simple things. Somebody might say, why don't you turn the lights off? You should turn the lights off. You also know this. Maybe you forgot. So if this happens enough times, then you get very irritated. You say, why is this person always picking on me? Whereas actual fact is, the person is not picking on you. The person is mentioning something which you should have done. Now, what is the alternate way of, how do you use the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِذْفَ بِاللَّتِهِ أَحْسَنْ, in this particular case? You say to yourself, Alhamdulillah, this person reminded me that I must turn the lights off. So I'm going to remember that. And you say, thank you very much for reminding me. Now, reason I'm saying, this might sound like as if it's, unrealistic, but the fact of life is that the only thing which is in our control is ourselves and our own behavior. And that's why I said life is math, and I'll explain to you why I'm saying that. The only thing which we can actually control is our own behavior. I cannot control your behavior. I can try to influence it. I can try to persuade you. Maybe in some cases I can even force you. But it still is something that you are doing because of the force. It's not a change that comes inside you. The only thing that I can control is myself. The only thing I can control is my own behavior. So what is that behavior? That is my reaction to whatever is happening in front of me. So I usually give this example. I say, if somebody comes and tells me that I think you are a donkey. So I have two choices. Either I can get irritated and I can say that this person has no adab, this person has no manners, you know, and he's calling me a donkey. Or I can choose to take the opinion that maybe this person never saw a donkey. So I take him and show him a picture of a donkey and I put it next to my face and I say, this is a donkey, this is me. Do I, you know, are we the same? Do you think we look alike? What do you think? Maybe you never saw a donkey, that's why you're calling me a donkey. Right? Even if he calls you a donkey, donkeys have many good qualities. For example, they are very patient. For example, they bear a lot of big loads. Right? So they have a lot of good qualities also. So one doesn't necessarily have to look only at the bad qualities of the donkey. It might be a very philosophical donkey, it might be a very donkey with a great sense of humor, you know, so who knows. So, maybe that donkey will go to Jannah, go to heaven, who knows. So, now what am I saying? I'm saying the choice of how I want to react to that statement, you are a donkey, is mine. I cannot stop the person from calling me a donkey. If he wants to call me a donkey, he'll call me a donkey. But I have a choice of how I want to react to that statement. I can react to it with humor, I can react to it with anger, I can react to it in whichever. That reaction is in my control. So that's why I say life is math. Why do I say it's math? It's like an equation. You say 2 plus 2 equals 4. So in life, the first 2 is yours. This is in your control. The second 2 is dealt out to you. That's what the environment gives you. The result is a combination of these 2 numbers. So my 2 plus the 2 that was given to me. These together gives me a certain result. So now if I say, well, you know, 2 plus 2 is 4, but that 4 I'm not happy with. I want another result, I want 6. But I have only 2. And what is given to me is only 2. But I want 6. Then what should I do? Increase my 2 to 4. Because this 2, the first 2 is in my control. I can do whatever I want, I can increase it, decrease it, anything. That one that came to me is not in my control. So that 2 which was dealt to me, was given to me, that is not in my control. But I still want a different result, which is 6. So what must I do? Make my 2 into 4, I get 6. Now there are so many instances of this, of these two statements, that perception is reality, meaning that it is up to us how we want to perceive what comes to us. And that becomes our reality. If I perceive something as irritation, it becomes my reality. If I perceive something as this is my chance to show sabr, because Allah said, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me this person, my wife, my husband, my father, my son, or whoever, my employee. Allah gave me this person in order for me to get close to Allah. This person gives me any number of opportunities to make sabr in a day. If that person was not there, maybe I would not be making sabr because there is nothing. But because of this person constantly irritates me, the person constantly causes me all kinds of problems. And because I deal with those problems with sabr, I get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah said, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. So the way in which I choose to react, I can also react in the, within quotes, normal way. If you irritate me, I get angry. The more you shout, the louder I shout, and so on and so on. And we know where all that leads. And definitely that does not lead to a good place. At the end of such an altercation, if you ask both parties, right? Now, I cursed you, you cursed me, you beat me, I beat you. Now, are we happy? Nobody's happy. Neither of us. Then why did we do it? Why did we do it? What was the reason? I mean, obviously we know that behavior is insane. We know it doesn't cause us any. But this is from shaitan. Shaitan does this. Now there are any number of examples of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the seerah of the Sahaba and from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I just want to give you one or two examples. One is the incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the masjid and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with him, and there was a man among the people who were there who was shouting at Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And as time progressed, as the incident progressed, the man became more and more abusive. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sat quietly, did not say anything. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu saw that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling. But people are human. The man increased in his yelling and screaming or whatever he was doing, and finally it reached some point of tolerance of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu responded. He just said one word, whatever it was, he responded to the man. The moment Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu responded or reacted to the man, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped smiling and he got up and walked away. He left the place. Now this affected Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Obviously he was very upset with this. So he got up and he went behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had tears in his eyes. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, that man cursed me all this while you didn't say anything. I said one word and you got up and left. What did I do wrong? I mean, you know, after all, I had enough grounds." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As long as that man was cursing you, there was an angel sitting there responding on your behalf. So I was smiling." He said, "The moment you responded to the man, the angel left." And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If the malaika leave, why should I be there? If the malaika have left a place, why should I be there? I also left." Yeah. And of course, we have heard many stories of the seerah. I won't even mention the story in detail. I will just give you pointers, because we have heard these stories. The story of the woman who used to throw garbage. She used to wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pass, and then she would throw garbage. What do you learn from this? We all heard the story. I don't have to repeat the story. But what is the lesson from that story? The old woman who was leaving Makkah and going away, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried her luggage on his blessed shoulders, and all through that journey to the place of where the caravans used to meet, this woman abused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't know who he was, but she was talking about this man Muhammad, and he's this, and he's this, and he's this, and so on and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not respond at all. He didn't say anything. He carried her load, and finally he put the load down, and the woman said, "You are such a wonderful man, and you are such young people we need, and such a wonderful person, and I thank you so much," and so on. And he says, "What is your name?" He says, "My name is Muhammad Ibn Abdullah." She said, "The same one?" He said, "Same one." So she said, if you are that person, then I don't have to go anywhere." He said, "Take me back." "Take my load back to where I was coming from. Alhamdulillah," he said, "then you are the truth. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Idfa billati hiya ahsan." Allah said, respond with the best. I remind myself and you that all through our life, we will continuously meet people who are aggravating, who are irritating, who do all kinds of mad things. At least in our city in Hyderabad, you have to just go out of the gate, and sometimes even inside the gate, there are people who prove this rule on a daily basis. Our traffic is like that. Everyone, I mean, anywhere you go, it seems as if everyone wakes up in the morning only with one intention: how can I aggravate somebody else? May Allah protect us from this. But our choice: do I want to get aggravated? Am I going to allow this person to do this to me? Or am I going to decide how I will behave? Why must I allow you to decide how I will behave? No, I will behave the way I have to behave. Why should I? You do whatever you want. Your magic is for you. And alhamdulillah, the more you irritate me, the closer I get to my Rabb. Because if I make sabr, Allah said, "Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin." See the beauty of this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say, "I will reward the one who is making sabr." Allah did not say, "I will give ajr to the one who makes." Allah said, "I am with the one who makes sabr." The ajr the reward of sabr is the ma'iyat of Allah, is Allah being with me. Now imagine, if Allah is with you, then what about the power of your dua? So this person who is irritating you, this person who is causing trouble to you, is actually getting you closer to Allah. If you look at it from this perspective, if you change your perception, life is math. Look at this. I am being dealt this card. This man, this woman, this child, whoever is doing all these aggravating things, the fellow is driving like a maniac on the road or whatever, I am being dealt this card. What is my response to that? That's my, in my control. And if I respond to it correctly, that this person is actually helping me, say, Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullahu khair for cursing me, Jazakumullahu khair. I always say the slanderers, people get very irritated. So-and-so slandered me, and he did ghibat of me, and he, made this false accusation. I said, Alhamdulillah. I said, actually, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time somebody says, so-and-so said this about me, I said, Alhamdulillah. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the slanderers of the world, because they give you their deeds for free. Why should you be irritated? Somebody slandered Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, and he actually took some fruits to him and he gave him a gift. The man said, why are you giving me the gift? He said, you gave me your good deeds, so at least I should respond. On the day of judgment, I cannot. So today I am giving you some fruit. So alhamdulillah, let them say, how does it matter? The reality Allah knows. And if somebody points a finger at you and finds a fault, somebody points a finger at me and points a fault, I tell him, boss, you are wrong. And you know why you are wrong? Because you think I have that only one fault. But I know how many faults I have. You only found one. So alhamdulillah. Why should I get irritated? I'm very happy. Just Jazakallah khairan for pointing the finger. Because if you did it in public, you also gave me your good deeds. So good for you. If you did it in private, alhamdulillah, I thank you for it. But also, I want to assure you that this is not the only five. I've got many others. My Rabb has protected, he has covered them. Alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it covered. So, itfa billati hi ahsan. Respond with the best. And this is the best, which is, do not allow the other person to control your behavior. Do not allow the other person to control. Always remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in allaha ma'a sabirin. Allah is with the one who makes sabr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sabr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to see the value in things which we consider to be things of no value. If I tell you that somebody else's cursing has value, you would say, you're crazy. What rubbish is this? How can somebody's cursing have value? How can somebody's irritating behavior has value? But I hope I am able to remind myself and you that it actually has a lot of value. It has a lot of value. And believe me, I want to end with this. People's criticism, especially people's false criticism, undeserved criticism, has more value than the opposite, which is undeserved praise. You will never find anybody objecting to undeserved praise. Nobody objects. People are very happy. Somebody says, oh, mashallah, what knowledge. Oh, subhanallah, baharul ulum, you are like a sea of knowledge. You feel very nice. Ah, very nice. I'm like a sea of knowledge. And I know how much knowledge we have. Which sea of knowledge? We're not even like a drop of knowledge. Where is the sea of knowledge? But nobody objects to that. It's alhamdulillah, good. I've got a good reputation. But if somebody says one bad thing, now think about this. This undeserved praise can result in riya, can result in it going to our head, then we start getting kibur and takabur. It can result in falsifying all our deeds, because then we start working and we start doing things to please people, because you like this, you lap it up. So every time you want more and more and more, so what must you do? Become more and more popular. So now your whole orientation is towards becoming popular. How many doors of shaitan is it opening, this undeserved praise? Whereas undeserved criticism, especially if you look at it the way I am reminding myself and you, then undeserved criticism will get you closer to Allah. So alhamdulillah, what the man is saying, I know I am not like that. Somebody says you are a kafir, I know I am not a kafir. Somebody says you are a murtad, all of this has been said to me. May Allah protect me. And from that, and may Allah give me a khatima on Iman. I know I'm not a murtad. I know my Rabb, I know what is in my heart. I know I'm not a kafir. Somebody says I'm a kafir. I said, Alhamdulillah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if one Muslim calls another Muslim kafir, then one of them is definitely a kafir. Yeah? He said, if one calls another a kafir, one of them is definitely a kafir. Meaning that if you call somebody kafir and he's not a kafir, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a kafir out of you. Somebody called, said to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, he said, he is a kafir. When Imam Ahmad was informed, he said, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I know that I am not a kafir. Bas. He did not say that man is a kafir. He said, I know I am not a kafir. I know I am not making kufr. I know I am on tawheed. I know I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know I am not a kafir. So if somebody is giving you undeserved criticism, then alhamdulillah, is doing you a favor. Because he is not, with that criticism, you will not go towards riya, you will not go towards kibr, you will not go towards anything. If you see it the way I am expressing, then inshallah, you will get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. You will make sabr, Allah will be pleased with you, Allah is with you, ma'as sabirin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. The man gave you all his good deeds, so now your account is also full, we're doing nothing, free. So undeserved criticism is better than undeserved praise. And that's why I want to end with Imam Shafi rahmatullah's quote. Imam Shafi said, if you want to save yourself from the pain of undeserved criticism, do not feel happy with undeserved praise. Yeah? So if you want to save yourself from the pain of undeserved criticism, he said, do not feel happy about undeserved praise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sabr. We ask Allah to make us among those who have sabr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand the value of hardship and difficulty in life. We don't ask for it. We ask Allah's protection from it. But when it comes, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom to understand the value of that hardship, the value of that difficulty, the value of that irritation, the value of that aggravating person in our life. And say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this person, put this incident, put this situation into my life. I ask Allah's protection from this. I ask Allah to relieve me from this. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me. But I do not complain, and I do not make, I do not say that this is a bad thing, because I understand the reality of it. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ